Welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we are waiting for you.
We praise God for each of you, for truly this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. So we welcome you tonight as we prepare for the continuation of our study in First Chronicles. As we move through this time together, I tell you, this is an interesting book and it has a lot of detailed information in it. And so we're looking forward to how God is going to open us up and give us clarity as it relates to understanding a lot about what has happened and transpired in terms of the history and all of the relevant events that took place that really, Lady Kim, shapes the foundation for the New Testament, because you see a lot of the ancestry that we're talking about can be traced all the way to the New Testament, and it helps us get clarity in terms of our understanding about who and whose we are.
Amen.
So we praise God for each of you. Let us know the sound is coming in clear as we prepare for this time together. We've got a lot of information before us. We're going to try to just scan through some of these chapters and not really go into much depth, because you'll see a lot of it has to do with the genealogies. Mm-hmm. And so we're not going to go through all of those. But Lady Kim, if the Spirit hits you and you feel like you feel an anointing to read, then we'll let you go ahead and do that. But Lady Kim has just come in from her first day of her doctoral program. This is the third cohort, is that right?
Third residency.
Yes. And so she's a little
weary,
but she says she's ready to go tonight. And so we have no doubt in our minds that as she leads us through this, it's going to be an exciting time. That's my phone going off and I'm turning it off. But we praise God for each of you, and we thank God for His Spirit's abiding presence even tonight. Let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and yes, we yet give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your goodness and your mercy.
Yes.
We thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes. We thank you for another opportunity to gather at this appointed time to study your word. For your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And you said in your word that the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord. And so, God, we trust and believe your word, and we stand on your promises even now. And we ask that you will give us clarity as we go through this time together. And then, God, that you might alert us to what it is you would have us to say, even as we move through these chapter reviews. So bless and strengthen us. Thank you for each person that's a part of this study tonight and those who will view it later on. And we pray your blessing to be upon us. We just believe our faith is going to increase, because you said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we stand on that promise even tonight, and we're going to be better as a result of us going through this time together. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
Somebody give God a thumbs up or some hearts. Amen. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming through. And here it is, Monday the 9th. And I tell you, we have much to be thankful for. And yesterday in our worship experience, we continued our sermon that we started the first Sunday. It doesn't seem like it's just the second Sunday in this new year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only, 9 days in?
Mm-hmm.
And we're right in the midst of a fast. And so we're excited about what God is doing, and what we stand on tiptoe with eager anticipation for what He will do. But we continued our sermon from the first Sunday entitled Position Yourself for Greatness. And so, Lady Kim, what did you observe, or what did the Lord say to you as you were yet in the worship experience on yesterday? And just give us some highlights of what you heard and what you want to share with us.
Well, like you said, the sermon topic was Position Yourself for Greatness,
mm-hmm.
Part 2. And I think you covered some of the points on last week that to position yourself for greatness, you have to show there's a demonstration of God's love, there's a manifestation of God's love, and there our we have to participate.
Is that the right sermon, Reverend?
Participation in God's love.
I don't think that's it. That was the week before.
Okay.
Right. So they got it listed as, yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead. We can deal with that because we talked about the desire and describe and demonstrate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So they probably just mixed it up, but that's good right there.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I.
So what happened?
Well, I do have these a few notes from the sermon on Sunday that greatness comes from a humble attitude.
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. So we have to humble ourselves because we always talk about the first. The Bible says the first shall be last,
right?
And
right.
The last shall be first.
That's right. That's right.
And then laboring, and we have to labor and work on God's behalf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So working for the Lord doesn't cost much, but the retirement benefits are out of this world.
That's right.
So we have to work, and whatever we do, we have to do it. Work unto the glory of God. And there's a lot of work to do because we know the Bible says that the harvest is plenteous. Are plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Right, right.
So we're praying for more laborers to come into the vineyard. So that simply means, there's a whole lot of Bible talk, but that simply means that there's a lot of work that we have to do, a lot of ministry that we have to do for our community, but we need people to help.
That's right.
What that means. We need boots on the ground. We need feet and hands moving and serving because there's so much to do. And then you also talked about how God's greatness is all around us. You know, and it doesn't take much to just look around and appreciate what God has done. We can count more blessings than we can count, you know,
disasters.
Yeah, disasters or failures or
disappointments.
Absolutely. So God's blessings are all around us. Sometimes when we're at the lowest points in our life, all we have to do is look at how God has blessed our lives and how he brought us out the last time. He'll do it again.
That's right.
So we just have to continue. So positioning yourself for greatness simply means that you have to yield yourself to whatever it is that God is leading you to do. And do it with your whole heart.
That's right. And do it not as unto man, but do it as unto God. Because a lot of times we look at how the world defines greatness and people get confused. But Paul tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so many times we start looking at how people are achieving and being successful and not based upon God's timetable outside of God's will. And they think that that is the prescribed way for them to be great. And that was part of what the disciples were struggling with because they were looking at the rulers and all of them who were lording over the people. And they thought that that was what they should aspire to. But Jesus said, no, that's not the way it's going to go. If you want to be great, you got to be a servant.
And
if you want to be great, then you got to be a slave. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of, when I was reading that, I know a lot of people probably, and particularly the disciples, I would imagine they were kind of like confused because you're talking about being low, you're talking about somebody being over you, somebody telling you what to do, you working at somebody else's will and somebody else's request. But Jesus says, no, if you want to be great, then you got to be a servant. I didn't come to be served, mm-hmm. but I came to serve.
Amen.
And that's the example, that's the motto. And so when you look at that in light of how important it is for us to have people who are workers, we can't come in expecting the applause, expecting the highlights or expecting our name to be in bright lights. But God wants you to work. And if you humble yourself, he said, then I'll exalt you. But sometimes people come in looking for all of the highlights and not looking for the lowlights.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus talked about, are you able to drink of the cup that I will drink of? You know, and what he meant by that was, are you able to bear what I'm getting ready to go through? Mm-hmm. See, mm-hmm. they really didn't understand what Jesus was getting ready to go through. He told them in his word, he said, what verse was it? Where he said he's going to be mocked. He told them exactly what was going to happen. He says the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise.
Right.
And then James and John turns around and says, you know, teacher, you know, can we sit on one on your right hand and one on your left? See, they knew the power that Jesus had. Mm-hmm. They watched Jesus perform miracles. They watched Jesus feed 5,000 people.
That's right.
They watched Jesus heal the sick. They watched Jesus unstop deaf ears. They watched Jesus cast out demons. So they knew he had great power.
Right, right.
And because he had great power, they knew he was going to rise and mm-hmm. be recognized. And so they wanted to be, what you call him, his road dog, mm-hmm. his right hand, left hand men. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like seeing one of the rappers or whatever, and they have an entourage around them. That's what they wanted to be. They wanted to be the main people in Jesus's entourage.
Right.
But Jesus told them, hey, can you handle what I'm getting ready to go through?
Mm-hmm.
They still didn't get it.
Yeah.
That's the sad part about it. They still did not get it.
And so the glamour and the lights, again, you know, was not what he was trying. And they were looking at position and not at the power and the presence of the Spirit leading them in what he was trying to get them to see.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, if you go back and do the research on the disciples, they went through some difficult times after all of this transpired,
mm-hmm.
in terms of how they were, some of them were martyred, others were crucified upside down, and
yes,
all of that, you know.
Yes.
And so that was what Jesus was really telling them about.
You're
going to go through something, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, we talk about greatness and we're going to move on. Greatness does not come from the top down. It comes from the bottom up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we praise God for each of you, and we are excited about this time that we're going to spend together. Just a little recap, and we had a tremendous time in the worship experience and baptized three of the candidates that had come forth and were willing to be baptized. And I just felt the excitement and the enthusiasm of the people as we went through that service on yesterday. But tonight we're going to continue in First Chronicles. Now, this is an interesting book because it really helps us get some clarity in terms of the history. Chronicle really means a record in history. It's a register.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I said last week, I have a better fond memory, or not memory, but a appreciation for Ezra, because Ezra was the scribe here and made sure that what he was trying to interpret in terms of listing all of the genealogies and all of the history, he was trying to make sure that the people preserved the integrity of the text and the sacred scriptures and not lose sight of where they had come from. And that really points them to where they need to go. Because if we don't understand our history, it's going to be very difficult for us to really move forward into our future.
Mm-hmm.
I see our good friend, Dr. Holmes. He's on tonight. Good to see you all, Dr. Holmes, and all of you who are on tonight. But this whole first book, the First Chronicles, the book of First Chronicles really kind of sets the tone and the tenor for the history and the genealogy and gives us clarity in terms of appreciating from whence we've come.
Amen.
And same is true when we look back over our lives. We have to have a faith file, and I talked about that last week on Bible study, the importance and the significance of us remembering what the Lord has done and never ever forgetting how God delivered us and how he made ways out of no ways and opened doors that no man can shut. And so when we get into a situation where it looks like things are not going to turn in our favor, just go to that faith file
and pull it out.
Amen. And you'll see that God is a healer. He's a deliverer.
Yes, he is.
He made a way back then, and he will do it again. And so oftentimes we get into the struggle, and we start panicking, and we start feeling as if we don't understand from whence we've come. But I want to encourage somebody even tonight. I don't know your situation or your circumstance, but I want to encourage you, if you're going through, continue to trust the timing of God and stay focused and don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. And Lady Kim, we just have bountiful testimonies of how people have stayed the course. Mm-hmm. They have stuck with God's plan, and now they have a right and a reason and a responsibility to give God praise, because they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was nobody but God.
Nobody.
Do I have anybody on the call tonight can give some thumbs up or some hearts, because you know it was nobody but God who brought you out. And you can look back over how God has delivered, how God has made a way, how God continues to bless you, even in spite of yourself. Sometimes we get all off track, but when we settle down and when we center ourselves and we trust the timing of God, then we're going to come out all right. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anything else, Lady Kim, you want to share as we jump into? I think we got through the second chapter last week. Didn't
yes, we talked about all, like you said, the chronicling or the naming of the descendants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about some of these descendants, and in the second chapter, it talks about the descendants of Adam and the descendants of the sons of Noah,
mm-hmm.
The descendants of Shem, the descendants of Esau.
Okay.
That, you know, came to the conclusion of chapter 2 with the descendants of Esau. And the line of the patriarchs began with Abraham and was passed down to Isaac, not Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
and then to Jacob, Israel, and not to Esau.
That's right.
The 12 tribes are listed as the Israelites in verses 1 and 2, then we see the families, the children of the Israelites, and the children's children, and so on. So it's talking about the line of ancestry.
Okay, I'm trying to see what page you are on. Okay, all right. You jumped way on out there, didn't you?
That was from chapter 2.
Okay.
We talked about it last week. I'm just
kind of
recapping.
Yes, ma'am. I ain't kick your cat. I don't want no trouble.
Just talking about chapter 2.
All right.
So, a listing of the names of the sons of Israel,
mm-hmm.
known as Jacob.
Right. I'm with you.
We talked about that last week.
That's right.
I'm just kind of recapping.
Okay. All right.
And those are the sons who will figure predominantly in the story of Joseph,
mm-hmm.
and Joseph was, of course, Jacob's favorite son, and was sold by one of his half brothers into slavery into Egypt.
Okay.
So, you know, that's just a little bit of history or lineage behind that.
All right, yes, ma'am, Professor. I'm just trying to follow you. You go ahead. Well, this third chapter really kind of opens up talking about the sons of David.
Yes.
Like you just mentioned. And one of the interesting things that came out of that for me was that even after, you know, David and Bathsheba had their little escapade or whatever you want to call it. God punished them as a result of that, but they had more children after that. Mm-hmm. You remember?
Yes.
And so part of what it says here is that David had 6 sons, and 4 of them was from Bathsheba. But he also had full reign of the, what are they called, the concubines, mm-hmm. and all right. of that. And so he produced sons with all of those whom he was intimately involved with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just look at Solomon and we look at the main character figures mm-hmm. that we are familiar mm-hmm. with. But his other sons were just as influential in terms of leading and doing things within the life of Israel during that time.
Amen. So, and it's, you know, the it says that he had 4 children, like you said, by Bathsheba, but mm-hmm. he had 9 others.
That's right.
So that was interesting to learn.
Yeah. And so Solomon came as a result of he and Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. And we know that Solomon, and we just finished that study recently when we were in the Song of Solomon. Was it Song of Solomon?
Yes.
Yes. How
Song
he,
of Songs.
Song of Song Songs. Of that's right. And how Solomon was perhaps the wisest and the richest man to ever live. Mm-hmm. And how he had all at his disposal, everything that he wanted. And God asked him, what did he want? You know, he said, I'll grant whatever you ask me to do. Isn't that something?
Yes.
We serve that kind of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And instead of Solomon saying, give me riches and more riches and all of that, he told him something very unique and very interesting. He said, I just want to have wisdom so that I can be able to lead people in the way in which mm-hmm. you would have me to go. And that's as a awesome. Result of that, God says, well, Solomon, because you didn't ask for all of the material things, mm-hmm. bam, here it is.
I
grant it to you in addition to being the wisest man to ever live.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
That's something.
And so we have to be careful what we ask for, because many times we let our eyes and the glitz and the glamour of things that we see in the world really kind of push us to a place where we lose sight of what God really wants us to have.
Mm-hmm.
So that back to that scripture, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so if we're flowing in his will, if we're doing what he requires of us to do, then all of the other material things will come. That's what Matthew is all about, 6:33.
Yes.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes.
And all of these other things shall be added. Make sure your priorities are in order. That's really where we're going with that. And make sure that you understand that if you serve God and if you allow that relationship, your vertical relationship, to be intact, then all of the horizontal relationships will begin to fall in place.
That's right. That's yes. right. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think when you look at this this third chapter, and we're just highlighting as we mentioned early on, when you come to the end of it, you'll find that the lesson that really that is trying to be expressed here is God's election and his unconditional grace. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so many times people try to take advantage of God's unconditional grace. Mm-hmm. And they think that it's almost like a dog on a long leash, mm-hmm. and that they can just explore and do whatever they want to. But no, we should use that as an opportunity to understand just how blessed we are, and not try to test God or try God by doing things that we know we shouldn't do, or go in places we know we shouldn't go, and then come back and ask God to forgive us, and we already know what we're doing is
Amen.
Wrong.
That's right.
You follow what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so we can't just take God's grace for granted. But here it is, he's talking in this particular chapter, the third chapter, that there's purpose that comes as a result of us aligning ourselves with the will of God. Mm-hmm. There's purpose that comes as a result of us not trying to take advantage of God's grace and find ourselves in situations where we're daring and we're seeking and we're still trying to step over that line, and we end up in a place where God would not have us to be.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
All right, so even as we move into the fourth chapter, and we're in First Chronicles, and we're just highlighting these chapters, we're really going to start going in around the 10th chapter and start working our way through. But most of what we see in these early chapters are really just the listing of the ancestry and the descendants of Abraham, and it goes all the way down. And it falls now here, we're talking about where the 12 tribes of Israel and how they began to take shape. And one of the interesting things that we'll see here in this fourth chapter, it starts to bring shape to, you know, they have different, the Moabites, the Zoabites, and all of the Bites and the Ites. Mm-hmm. That's when all of this starts to transpire in that fourth chapter. But, you know, one of the primary figures in the fourth chapter is a man that we all have come to know and love. And many of us probably remember him more than we remember anything else in First Chronicles. Mm-hmm. That man by the name of Jabez.
Jabez,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Jabez, he was really the central figure here in terms of how his life served as an example, because the Bible tells us that Jabez was, he was one who, when he was born, his mother, well, the meaning of Jabez, he makes sorrowful. His mother went through a lot of pain and tribulation, and he overcame that, even though he might have been considered like the black sheep of the family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because of her pain, she named him Jabez.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so can you imagine people looking at you, and every time they call your name, they're calling you Pain.
Pain.
Hey, Pain.
What's your name? My name is Pain.
Yes.
What, you have any comments there? I see a couple of people making mention of some things.
Grace is not a situation of you having a long leash.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's good. Okay, she got a hashtag there and all of that. That's mm-hmm. that's one of my sayings. That came up today, mm-hmm. but that'll work.
Yes. Yes.
And so we see all of the Bites begin to take shape in this fourth chapter,
Lady Kim. Mm-hmm.
The tribes, and as a result of that, but the primary emphasis, of course, is on Jabez, and then we see the descendants of Simeon coming out of this whole process. And it's just a long line of the ancestry and describing who begat who and how they became a part of the lineage, and how the tribes began to take shape, and how all of the 12 sons, they had children, and how their whole families and the tribes began to grow and increase.
It also talked about where they lived too, mm-hmm. and how they divided up the land and who lived where.
Right.
You know, and how they found good land and fat pasture, mm-hmm. you know, quiet and pleasing places to live. So that's, you know, at the latter part of this chapter. But the lesson for this chapter is fear God, neither being despised nor lightly esteemed, but highly esteemed. It says be a part of God's purpose.
Okay.
So we have to be a part of God's purpose.
All right. And so that moves us into the fifth chapter. And we're just highlighting for those of you who are just joining us, as we move through the introductory part of First Chronicles, there's a lot of genealogy, a lot about the ancestry, and we encourage you to go back and read it. but we don't want to just dwell there, but we're going to just think and move and move into just some highlighting of some of the significant things that's actually happening in this particular first part of First Chronicles. And I think in that fifth chapter, it starts talking about the tribes of Israel settling on the east of the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you see?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how Reuben lost his birthright and had a relationship with his stepmother's maid, who was also his father's concubine.
That's right.
His sons lived in Gilead, and the sons of Gad and the sons of Manasseh lived in Bashan until the captivity.
Yeah. Look at that first verse, and the first and second verse of that fifth chapter, Lady Kim, because it's so relevant to what happened right there with, what's his name? Reuben losing his birthright.
Okay.
Yeah, just read that if you don't mind.
All right. We're in the fifth chapter of First Chronicles. Now the son of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brothers, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's.
Isn't that something? And so we see that when he talks about prevailing, and it also talks about how this was something that was reckoned, that this was established because of how Reuben went against his father's will, and he slept with one of his concubines and had a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, he lost his birthright.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But it goes on, and this, we're in the fifth chapter of First Chronicles, and we're highlighting. It goes on and talks about the descendants of Gad, and then we see that it talks about how all of that began to take shape and how the land was distributed and how they began to set up in different areas as they had crossed over into the Jordan, east of the Jordan River. And then I think the highlight at the bottom there really kind of gives us a lesson that we can take away from this particular chapter, which is the fifth chapter.
And the lesson there is being distanced from the people of Israel in general, and the spiritual life of the nation in particular, weakens devotion to God, strengthening their attraction to the gods, little g gods, mm-hmm. of the peoples of the land, leading to unfaithfulness. But our God rewards the faithful.
That's right. Our God rewards the faithful. And so here it is, a greater appreciation for Ezra, as he makes sure in just laying out the whole history and making sure that they didn't lose sight of the actual context of what had happened in their history, so that they would have something that they could rely on and look back on to see just how good God had been and how far the Lord had brought them. And so he was in a real sense preserving the integrity of Israel's sacred text.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just really appreciate that. I mean, Ezra did a lot, but when we find out how he was really the focal point in making sure that all of this history was lined up, it was in order, and he kept things consistent so that people would not be thrown off track.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we move into the sixth chapter, and we're just highlighting, this really talks about the tribe of Levi. Wouldn't you agree, Lady Kim?
Yes.
Any highlights, any comments there that anybody we need to look at?
Well, Dr. Q said it's interesting that the code of honor was so important in that context that it could cost a man his entire inheritance.
That's right. That's right. And so he lost it all just on a whim and on a... you know, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of, how did that go? The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Mm-hmm. Is that the way it goes?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have to find it.
Okay.
The passage. Yes.
All right. I don't see you making no busting no moves.
Because we don't have time.
Somebody looked that up for me. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is what really hinders a lot of people. And this is pretty much what Reuben found himself dealing with because that was probably a major mistake on his part, because he allowed the lust to really throw him off track. And sometimes that happens even in our time, in our day. We get so caught up in the natural, what we see that's attracting to the natural eye, and we lose sight of the spiritualness of where God would want to direct us and how he would want to lead us. Did you find it?
Yes, it's in 1 John 2.
There it is.
15 or 16. Mm-hmm. Yes. It says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh. Oh, goodness. Okay. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. And 2:16 says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world.
Right. And so that was really what we were trying to get at when we were trying to describe how Reuben, in terms of him losing his birthright, he got caught up in a situation that really throwed him off track, and he lost sight of what God's intent was for his life. And then he double-crossed his stepdad, and that really just kind of, that was just, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, the same thing, there's nothing new under the sun,
right? That's
the
right.
Same thing is happening today.
That's right.
You know, people overstepping their bounds with family members, having children out of wedlock, out of relationship. So the same things are happening now as what's happening back in that day.
That's right. You're right. And so when we get into the sixth chapter, and those of you who are just joining us, we're walking through 1 Chronicles. We're highlighting these first few chapters as we prepare to get into the meat of. But most of what we are covering tonight deals with ancestry and genealogy. And then it gives you the places where the 12 tribes were settling, and how the children of Israel began on the east side of the Jordan River, began to take shape and plant themselves and take dominion over the land that they had occupied.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so in chapter 6, you talked about the tribe of Levi, and then we also had the descendants of Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
The descendants of Aaron, and it just goes on to talk about the Levites again, the city of the Levites.
That's right.
So, and like we said, we're just highlighting because it all talks about who beget who and what they did. And like the old folks said, who shot John? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's again putting into position the lineage of and ancestry of all the tribes of Israel. And the chronicle list, the chronicle lesson for the night list that honor the holy place of God as Aaron did. The entire tribe of Levi had a special place in Israel, given over to the service of God generally.
Okay. And I think when we move from the fifth to the sixth chapter, it really is a continuation of Levi, and how it continues to describe in more detail about some of the things that he had to do in terms of getting established and setting up and making sure that he was doing what he needed to do in order for his family and his lineage to carry on.
Okay.
And so when you go into that seventh chapter, it really talks about the other tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. And it goes into length and detail about them.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the listings there?
Okay, the descendants of Issachar.
Yes.
The descendants of Benjamin.
Yes.
The descendants of Naphtali.
Mm-hmm.
The descendants of the western tribe of Manasseh. And also the descendants of Asher.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the others that they listed in that chapter, in chapter 7.
And I think the sons of Ephraim also came into play there. But what is an underlining lesson for us as a result of that seventh chapter?
That the lineage or ancestry is very important.
Yes, yes.
Especially in the times of war.
Right, right. And I think, Lady Kim, last week we dibbled a little bit and talked about how important for us to understand our history, particularly in our families, and how we need to make sure that we're clear about some of the traits that we may exhibit in our own lives that were passed on from our ancestors, mm-hmm. and how many times there are generational curses that's upon families, and if they are not actually dealt with or looked into and placed under the blood of Jesus and calling that thing out, then it will continue to try to manifest itself throughout the lineage of the family.
Amen.
And so people have to really, and you talked a little bit about how they have all of these things set up now where you can go back and trace your history. But people have to really be mindful of understanding from whence they've come and in their family tree and in their background. And then looking at how even being raised, how some traits were so obvious. And many times I think we act out of our subconscious and not really think about that consciously in terms of how it affects us today.
Amen.
Because we bring a lot of that to the table.
Yes,
from where we grew up and how what we saw in our homes and how people were treated and how, you know, the old song, Papa Was a Rolling Stone and all of that. And then you got alcoholism and you got abuse and you got all of that that's really just kind of surfacing. And until we bind and rebuke it and we call it out, that curse can continue to carry, it continue to try to raise its head throughout the generation.
Amen. Amen.
Because I think I told them last week that your daddy was an alcoholic. Did we talk about
that
last week?
Yes, my dad was an alcoholic.
And so that was one of the things that really kind of steered you away from.
Yeah, it could go in either direction,
right,
though, for
right.
some people. You know, my dad was an alcoholic, and I could have been an alcoholic.
That's right.
You know, but I decided that curse would not come nigh my doorstep.
Bye-bye.
So,
say bold.
Yes.
Okay. Because I didn't tell them when I first met your family.
I think you did.
No, I didn't. Well, you cut me off. I didn't tell. Did I tell that story last week?
I'm not sure.
No, I went to Chicago, and so they were trying to check out and see who this fellow was that had swept their daughter off of her feet, and how she was. See how she's smiling now? She was just all googly-eyed, and she was all bubbly. And so her daddy brought out a big case of Old Style and set it on the table. So I guess he was trying to see if I was going, you know, indulge. And that was, I guess I was supposed to pass the test tonight. I didn't know all of that was going to happen. But he cracked open one and asked, you want one? I said, sure. You know, so we went to work that night. But I'm one, I don't even like beer. And, you know, I drink wine on occasion, but I didn't never have a desire for beer. And it's not so much because it was not in my home, because I came out of a home where, you know, I didn't see that kind of thing happening. But you know, sometimes people can get so caught up and it can be so prevalent in their situation till they think that that's the way it should go.
That's right.
And you mm-hmm. said, just like you said, how you were able to, you saw that, you got a sense of what that was all about. You didn't like it. You could see when your dad went through that whole transition, that metamorphosis, when he began to change and how that the alcohol began to just take over. Mm-hmm. And you made a
conscious decision.
That's right. That you didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Right.
And so what are you saying, Pastor, why you keep laying there? Because many times if we don't recognize from whence we've come, that demon would try to raise his head. And many times we can subconsciously operate out of it and not really understand why we do some of the things we do, because we have not tried to deal with, or we have not tried to put that whole thing under the power and the presence of God and bind and rebuke it in our lives.
Amen. Dr. Hugh said at some point we have to mature and do some adulting, that just because mama and daddy did it, it doesn't mean that's what we should do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, we all want our kids to have a better life than us. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
And so some of the things that we see, and I praise God that I came out of a two-parent home, but that's not the standard nowadays.
That's right.
And so sometimes you see mother and daughter, a mother and son hanging out. Like, you know, they best friends. Mm-hmm. They going to the club. They doing everything. And you know all of that. But it minimizes, I think, the power of the presence of God when we don't allow God's presence to be the overarching, reason for what we are doing. And so I just praise God that some of the same principles that were established in my home are still present in our home today.
Amen.
And so that was the positive side. But the negative side of that is some of the same negative influences that people experience, they still are subjected to that. Mm-hmm. But you have to call that thing out. You got to speak to it. You got to cut off that generational curse. And if anybody's out there and you just kind of trying to figure out what Pastor's saying, there are some things in your behavior and your attitude that really takes you back to what you experienced in your childhood and in your upbringing, that God doesn't want you to be there. Mm-hmm. And so you got to speak to that situation. You got to call it out. You got to submit it to the power and the presence of God. Amen. So that your children or those who are coming behind you won't be still have that presence looming over them.
Amen. That's right. We need to learn how to move forward in God.
That's right.
Elevate our thinking, elevate whatever it is we're going through, and put it in the hands of God.
Absolutely.
Brother C said, thank God for not allowing the demon of addiction to take hold.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
Because it is a demon of addiction. But it's also a disease. Mm-hmm. You know, addiction is a disease. And so not only do we need to put it under the blood of Jesus, but we also have to get some help.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
There's help for those for alcoholism and different addictions.
That's right.
So we shouldn't try to hide the past from those who need to know, our mm-hmm. children, because of shame, so they can make a choice not to go down the same road. Thank you, Sister Michelle.
That's good.
That's absolutely good. Right. Our children don't need to go down that same road, you know. And you know, we have to tell. We have to tell the past. You know, it mm-hmm. was funny that we're talking about this because I don't know how we got on it in class today, but my instructor turned and looked right at me and he said, "What's the worst thing you ever did?" And I was like,
the worst thing?
And all my classmates said, "Don't answer that. Don't answer that, Kim, because you'll just mess us up. You know, you'll just..." So,
you had all kinds of stuff going through your mind.
Oh, man. You know, what's the worst thing? But I do have an answer for him tomorrow, you know, and it's not what he's going to expect. Mm-hmm. So if he...
You already got something ready in case he comes back.
Yeah, I thought about that. I really thought about the worst thing that I ever did, and it's not what what he's going to expect. I think they're thinking about sinful things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a sinful thing or not. But, yeah.
So you're going to just leave us hanging?
Absolutely.
You're going to just leave us on the cliff?
No, I was going to tell him, I think
the worst thing I've
ever done is procrastinate on getting my doctorate degree. I think that's the worst thing I've ever done.
Wow. Yeah, he probably, you're gonna throw him all the way off track with that. Because, go ahead, I'll let you finish.
Because, if I had done it sooner, but you know how life gets in the way and you just keep going on and on. And, I really felt the urge in my life now to do it.
Okay.
But I really wish I had done it some years ago.
Okay.
So that I could really put it into what I'm doing would have a longer, a longevity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, you still got us confused now. We got to understand. You got to break that out a little bit more.
Well, I'm talking about, what I'm writing my thesis
surrounding. Okay, I follow you now. Yeah. I'm just trying to help the people understand what you're saying because you've got a major, major thesis that you're trying to pull together. And you're saying if you had started on this early on,
you could have
more of a positive influence for the longevity.
A better impact.
Right,
it could have been built upon by now and further down the road.
Right.
Whereas now it's just at the beginning stages.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Lord just spoke to me and said, it's not for me to finish that race.
Glory to God.
For me to start it, but somebody else is going to finish it and take it on in.
That's what Paul said, didn't it? One plants, one waters.
But God gives the increase.
That's it.
So, yes, I'm not worried about that.
And so you got to put it in proper perspective and know that when God called you to a thing, He would bring it to fruition. What did Dr. Q say?
It's, Pastor, right now is a good time for you to give us a verse of on time, God. No, this is not a good time.
Yes, it is. This is an excellent time.
Sister Boomy says, the Bible says, we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. Our past should not hold us back from seeking the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
That's good.
I love that, Minister Boomy.
That's right. And so when we come into the knowledge, when we come into the awareness, then God requires of us to act on what we know.
Yes.
And not what we don't know.
Right.
But once the light goes off, once the door is open, you're held accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make some adjustments, we have to make some changes, and then we have to place it at the altar. And then, as you said, make sure we get the necessary help that's needed. Counseling, going to the behavior process and all of that, so that these addictions, these habits, these illnesses won't overpower the next generation that's coming behind.
Amen. They need to see a different example.
That's right.
They need to see a different model.
Right.
Going forward. And so, there is so much work to be done.
Absolutely.
As I looked out on last Saturday at the crowd that came to our church,
mm-hmm.
we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
much to be done.
That's right.
All right. So where were we?
We're in chapter 8.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so we're in chapter 8 of 1 Chronicles, and we were just talking about the genealogy and understanding the importance of us tracing our history and making sure that we are clear about some of the demons or some of the addictions that might try to come forth. And if you don't deal with that, then it will sit right there in the room and you'll be trying to figure out, why am I behaving like this? Why am I doing this? Why am I acting out like this? Our good friend, Dr. Holmes, he could lay all of that out for us, because he went and described it even as it relates to your position in your household with your siblings.
Oh, you're talking about Herman Holmes.
Herman Holmes,
okay.
Yes, Dr. Herman Holmes.
Yes.
You think I was talking about Dr. Reginald
yes.
Holmes. If he's still on, he could do it too.
Yes.
But Dr. Herman Holmes had a prescribed plan and pattern to help people understand, if you're the firstborn child versus the last child that was born, then it says a lot about your personality mm-hmm. and your behavior. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you can be a little bit more aggressive or less aggressive in terms of your position in your family. And then if you're the only child, that says a lot about how you tackle problems and how you deal with life mm-hmm. and how you handle people.
Amen.
Because you're used to doing things all by yourself.
That's correct.
Yeah. But that's what we were talking about, and we appreciate the comments. Our time is really getting away from us, Lady Kim. I don't think we need to just venture out into 8, but we can pick that up on next week, and we can start with 8 and move through and be on point for chapter 10 as well as we get into the meat of this First Chronicles. But we have just been trying to highlight some of the key final points in these first few chapters, because you'll see a lot of it has to do with lineage, and a lot of it has to do with ancestry, and a lot of it has to do with how the 12 tribes of Israel are placing themselves now and how they're positioning themselves to take charge over the land that they had inherited.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So do we have any praise reports or prayer requests that are coming that need to come forth? And while you're sending those, of course, we want to lift up our bereaved families. We want to lift up Sister Pat and Brother Charles Reynolds in the loss of their brother-in-law. That funeral is this coming weekend. And I'm trying to find my notes so I get all the bereavements. Okay? So that is this coming weekend in Millport, Alabama.
Okay.
And also Sister Mary Ford, lift her and her family up. She lost her cousin, and that funeral is this coming Saturday in Rossville, Tennessee. And also lift up Sister Darlene Cleveland and her family in the loss of her cousin. And I think that funeral is this coming Saturday in Buffalo, New York.
Okay. And then don't forget, of course, this can be a prayer request as well. Wednesday night we do start a revival, our anniversary revival. Mm-hmm. And we're excited about that. This is 23 years.
23 we're celebrating, years. Yes.
And God has been awesome and
faithful.
And faithful, and He's just blessed and favor continues to rest on the house of Atop. And so we want to make sure that all of those who are in the viewing area and the listening area to come out. Dr. Christopher Davis and the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, his choir and his people will be present. And so we're looking forward to that. He's an extraordinary preacher. He's sought after all across the country, and it just so happened to be a good friend of ours, and we're grateful for that relationship. And so we're looking forward to how he's going to pour into us as we operate around the theme that we carried on from last year, Lady Kim. We're still, this is the theme for this year, an abundant harvest, and how we're laboring and accomplishing for the kingdom.
Amen.
And how we're still believing God to send forth more laborers into the vineyard, and how great things are yet going to transpire this year.
Amen.
As we continue to trust God and trust the timing of God. He is indeed an on-time God,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, He is.
And so then, of course, on Thursday night, Dr. Reginald Boyce and the Riverside Baptist Church will be our special guest. He's bringing his choir and his musicians and his members of the congregation, and we're looking forward to that. And then on Friday night, and I think there's a link there that will share all of that information on Friday night, Dr. Keith Norman and the First Baptist Broad Church will be present. And we all know that he's a sought-after preacher. All three of them are. And so we're looking forward with anticipation, even as we're going through this fast, and we have a couple of more days to go. But on the 15th, our good friend, our newfound friend from Jackson, Mississippi, He's bringing his congregation. And this relationship came about as a result of us going down. You remember when Jackson went through that first water crisis, and they experienced something similar this last go round with this bad weather. Some pipes burst and all of that, and it threw everything, Monkey Ranch and everything. But we're looking forward to he and his congregation coming up on the 15th, and that's this coming Sunday.
Amen.
And there, he said he's excited about the relationship, and he's looking forward to being here. As a matter of fact, some of the musicians and some of the people said, well, we're just going to make a weekend out of it, and we're just going to come in on Friday and just kind of hang out and all that. But we're looking forward to Bishop Cruda to be present with us, and from the
New Horizon International.
And he has a major, major ministry. And we're already talking about some things we're going to be doing later on down the road with our congregations.
Amen. Sounds good. And we have another bereavement. Of course, Brother Darrell is on. He says, Sister Deborah Taylor and the loss of her cousin, Edward Pugh. That funeral, I guess, was today in Chicago, Illinois. And so we're praying for traveling mercies for Sister Deborah as she makes her way back to Memphis.
Okay.
I think that's all. Of course, continue to lift up Betty Ratcliffe and Brother Edward Ratcliffe family and the loss of that great-granddaughter and our ATOP member, Nia Ratcliffe, and Sister Sandra Wright in the loss of her aunt. That funeral was last weekend. And so we have many, many, Sister Mary Henderson and the loss of her cousin. That funeral was also last weekend. So we want to continue to lift up all of our bereaved families in our prayers.
All right. Well, remain steadfast in this season and continue to trust the timing of God. And Lady Kim, will you close us with a word of prayer, please?
Absolutely. Don't forget, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 o'clock p.m., we look to see you. Invite family members and friends to come out. We need your presence in the place. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you for this Bible study, God, and we know that knowing our heritage and knowing our lineage, oh God, is important. We ask, God, that as we look at inwardly at our own families, God, that you would allow us to draw closer to one another, because families are meant to build relationships. Families are meant to build and show love one towards another. And we thank you for our family members. We thank you, oh God, for those who are on the highway traveling. We ask grace and mercy for those, that they make it to their destination and home safely. We pray for all the bereaved families, God, that you would just touch their hearts, oh God, and give them the strength to endure. Touch the sick and afflicted and the shut-in right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your healing grace, power, and mercy that's going forth just because we dare to lift up you, God, in prayer. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you. We ask traveling mercies for our friends coming from Jackson, the Cruda family, and their church family, God. Let us find a newfound relationship in them, and let us celebrate your glory like never before. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope you all enjoyed tonight, and we're looking forward to seeing many of you Wednesday. But until next time, you be blessed.
Bye-bye. Love you.